We're going to learn Daf Gimel and Masechtas Nozir. However, we are going to start from the last line on the bottom of Daf Beis Amud Beis. So, what's going on over here is, of course, we have the Mishnah, the beginning of the Masechtas, bringing various Lashonos that if a person said, these Lashonos are Yodos, meaning we know that a person could be Mekabel Naziris. The best way to be Mekabel Naziris is for the person to say it straight out and to say Hare Ani Nozir or something like that, where it's absolutely clear that he's being mekabel upon himself to be a Nozir. However, the concept of Yodos is that I don't have to actually say the word Nozir. I could say something else which is a reference to Nozir, and we are able to finish a sentence and figure out that he is referring to Naziris, and that also works as a Kabbalah of Naziris. And the Mishnah goes through various examples. The last example that we are referring to right now is where a person says, "Ahei no'eh, I want to be nice, I want to beautify myself." So the Gemara has a question: how do we know that he's referring to Naziris? Maybe he's referring to mitzvahs in general. So the Gemara on the bottom, the second to bottom line, says, "Omar Shmuel shetoifes bisari," where he's holding on to his hair. So we know that he's referring to the no'eh. That he's referring to is he wants to do something, beautify the mitzvah that's related to growing your hair. So which mitzvah is that? That is Naziris. So we know that that's the clue that makes it obvious for us that he's referring to Naziris. And great. So by being no'eh, he's saying, I want to make myself beautiful with Naziris. So now, picking up from there, and he says, I want to be a nozer. Okay, so the Gemara asks on the bottom line, Milso da Aveiro v'amri le'noi. We know, because we've heard this many times, that being Mekabel and Naziris has an element of Aveira to it. So if it has an Aveira to it, why in the world would we refer to that as Noah, as beautifying myself? That's not the way we typically refer to beautifying yourself with mitzvahs, not with an Aveira. Or it has, okay, I'm sort of combining the two various ways that Tosfos learns this question, but it's the same idea. There's an element of Aveira. Either it is an Aveira, or there's an element of an Aveira involved in being a Nozer. So why would we call that no'eh? Why would that be nice? So the Gemara now on the top of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph says, it's true that there might be some aspect of there that's problematic. However, the afilu the Rebbe Lozer HaKafer, the Omar Nozer Chaita, he's the famous Shita that tells us that the reason why you bring a Karma Chatos at the end of your Naziris is because you restricted yourself from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to be able to drink wine, and you said you're not going to be able to drink wine. So that itself is a Chaita. So that's the famous Rebbe Lozer HaKafer. Even according to Rebbe Lozer HaKafer, who calls a Nozer a Chaita, the Gemara now says the Chiddush. Hani mili gabe nozer tome. Yeah, he's really only referring to somebody, a nozer who becomes tome. What's the problem? The Aidi deboy mitzar, since he's going to unravel all the days of Naziris that he's done so far and start over again. The Omer Rachmana, because the Torah tells us Vahayomer Rishonim Yipalu, that the days that the first days that he did before he became Tomei should fall apart, meaning they don't count, and he's going to have to start Ki Tomei Nizrei because of the fact he became Tomei. So what's the concern? Hosam who over there we call him a Choyte because Dilma Osi Lemevar Al Nizirayseya. Because there he's going to go back on his Naziris, because he's all upset about the fact that it didn't count, and now his Naziris is extended for a much longer period of time, and eventually he might end up, as the Mefarish says, he might end up drinking wine, because he doesn't have patience and tolerance to wait such a long time before he's able to drink wine again. So he's literally going to be over on the Naziris, and that's where there's an Aveira. That's because he became Tomei and messed up. Avol Nozer Tahar, Lav Chayta Karibe. But if he remains Tahar, there's no Aveira. We don't call him. Now, interesting lashon that the Gemara uses over here. We don't call him a Chayta. We don't call him a Chayta. Meaning, so therefore we can understand, this is the simple, before we get into Tosfos Akasha, but this is the simple reading of the Gemara. So therefore we understand that if he's not called a Chayta, so it is a mitzvah, certainly it is a mitzvah, it's an option that the Torah gives you. So therefore you are a Noah. you can say I'm being mekabel naziris, but that is considered a noah. So Tosfos asks the question which is on everybody's mind, which is all the other places that we learn Rabbi Elazar HaKafa that calls him a chayta is referring even to a nazir tahor, as we explained when we quoted him originally, that the point is he's answering the question, why do we bring a karba chatas at the end of your naziris? And this is talking about when you did a naziris tahor. So the Gemara over here is very confusing. The Gemara over here seems like it's implying that Rabbi Elazar HaKafar only said his statement by a Nazir Tamei. That's what our Gemara implies. But all the other Gemaras that quote Rabbi Elazar HaKafar seem to imply that it's referring to any time you're a Nazir, even a Nazir Tar. So Tosfos says something very interesting. Tosfos says that Enachanami, Rabbi Elazar HaKafar said it, even in the context of a Nazir Tahor, there is, as I said before, an element of an Aveira. Because you are restricting yourself, you're doing something that the Torah didn't necessarily want you to do, you're restricting yourself from drinking wine. However, there's also a mitzvah. So when you have a mitzvah and an Aveira competing against each other, and to use our expressions, the pros outweigh the cons, that the mitzvah element outweighs the Aveira. The Aveira is just a little bit, and the mitzvah is a big one. So then we can call it, overall, we can call it a mitzvah, and we can call it even Noah, as our Gemara describes. However, once you have, it is true, Rabbi Elazar HaKafar did say it, that even in the Nazir Tahor, there is some little piece that is considered no good. There is a little part of it. But again, we don't live in a perfect world. The good outweighs the bad. However, the Argamor over here is making a point that when there's a Nazir Tomei, that becomes much more complicated. And there, in fact, that's where Rabbi Elazar HaKafar for sure said what he was saying, which is that the bad certainly outweighs the good, and therefore, that's for sure a chayta. Because there we're concerned that he's going to mess up the whole Naziris, he's going to regret the whole Naziris, whereas I said, the Mefarish says that he's even going to be over on the Naziris, he's going to do bad stuff because he doesn't have patience, and so on and so forth. But that's how Tosfos learns the sugya over here, and that's why it's even able to call it a noah. Again, bottom line is, because if you do a Naziris correctly, and you finish it off correctly, yes, you bring a chatas because there was something that it wasn't perfect. However, your overall is considered a nice thing, and it's a good thing, and therefore it's considered noah. Okay, so that was the said we're in the middle of defining all the various cases that the Mishnah brought. So let's continue with the next quote in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Hareini kizeh." The next words in the Mishnah was, "I want to be like this." Okay, so this is very confusing. So the Gemara says, the girsa of the Gemara is a little bit tricky. The Gemara says, Nehi nami de tafis basari. So we assumed, based on the Gemara that we just read a moment ago, that Shmuel said the case by Hareini Noah was the reason why we know he's a Nazir is because he's holding on to his hair. So the Gemara makes an assumption, which is not a bad assumption, which is, I guess, all the cases now, if that's the case that we just set up in the Noah case, then this becomes, then it makes sense to say that these are now the cases of holding on to my hair. And that's how I know that I meant to be a Nazir. That's the reference to being a Nazir. The problem is, the Gemara says, that's not going to help you. Because Nehi Nami Tetafis Besaroi, even if he's holding on to his ear. Hareini, now here you have a little bit, there are some Gersois that, we have the Gersa Hareini Kizeh. But there are those that have, take out the word Kizeh entirely. There are those that change the Gersa to say, Hareini Bizeh Loyomar. And also the words Loyomar, whether they're included in the Gemara, they're not included in the Gemara, they all come to the same pshat. It's just a matter of the girsa over here. The bottom line is, the Gemara's question is, even if I say kizeh and I hold my hair, I want like this, my hair doesn't mean anything in and of itself. My hair is not an indication of anything by itself. This is my hair. So how did you get from the fact that if you're not doing anything, I want to be like this, then this is so open-ended and ambiguous, it doesn't mean anything. But even if you're holding your hair, which we already said means, like, people refer to it in that way, to Naziris, but still over here, I want to be like my hair, so maybe I want to grow my hair long. Maybe that's the Kabbalah Neder that I'm doing. How do I know that I really want to be a Nozer? To which the Gemara answers very simply, Amar Shmuel, Kagoyin Shal Yanozer, Oy Velofonov. This is a familiar refrain, which we've seen already, and the Gemara is going to use it again. which Shmuel says, okay, so the case over here is not that I'm holding my here, rather, there's actually a nazir in front of me. So now, when I say Hareini Kazeh, it's very obvious. There's a nazir walking in front of me, and I say, I want to be like this. So it's very clear what I'm referring to. I'm referring to a nazir. So if he's a nazir, I want to also be a nazir, and that becomes the case of the Mishnah. Now, if you'll ask me, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? The chiddush of the Mishnah is that that's also a yad. At the end of the day, I never said anything about Naziris. I never even indicated what I'm referring to. It's just simply because of the fact that there's circumstantial evidence that there's a guy walking here. And that's enough. If I say, I want to be like that, that refers to, referring to the Nazir, that's enough of an indication. And that's exactly a classic yad to tell us that he's going to be a Nazir. Then the Gemara continues with the next case of the Mishnah, which is Hareini Misalsal, which means I either want to flip, or I want to comb my hair, or I want to play with my hair a little bit. That's what the word Misalsal usually means. Now first, well, I said what it means, but the Gemara itself asks, Mimanda Hadain Silsul Sa'iro, how do I know, the Gemara itself asks, how do I know that Silsul, whatever exactly you're doing, you're flipping your hair, how do we know that it's even referring to hair in the first place? So the Gemara answers, like it was part of a conversation. There was this maidservant to Bei Rebbe that worked in the yeshiva of Rebbe, and she said, Lahu Gavro, she said to this guy, Ad Mosay Ata Misalsal Bisarecha, and when are you going to stop playing with your hair? Okay, so she used that expression, so we see that that was an expression, which is fine. You know, bringing a raya from some random lady, that's not the point. The point is like this. The point is we see that people use this expression, and if people use this expression and it has a very clear meaning when people use that expression, regardless of who's saying it, so whether or not she was an important person or not, we're not going to get into right now. But the point is that we see that that was an expression, and people knew what you were talking about. She said, Misalsal Bisarecha, and everybody knew that, what are you talking about? And this is how people use it. So, okay, so that explains why if I use that lashon, it also means that I want to play with my hair, or I want to do something, a mitzvah that shayach with my hair. However, the Gemara says there's another possibility. Eima Torah, maybe it means that I want to flip, I want to deal with, I want to comb through the Torah itself, and in which case, it would not be referring to Naziris. Dechsev, how do I know it refers to Torah? Because it says, Salsal of Esarah, that you should go through it and you should lift it up, right? By going through the Torah, by learning it well, you lift it up and you put it on a pedestal and you heighten it. In any event, that is a very nice lashon, and that's certainly something that a person would typically want to be mekabel upon himself. So how do we know he means Naziris? Maybe he means the Torah itself. Amar Shmuel, once again, Shmuel says the similar type of answer, Hachanami Shatefis Besairoi, where he's holding on to his hair. So if I'm holding on to my hair, and I'm saying Misalsal, so clearly I'm doing the hair thing. Because hair is definitely a translation and understanding, and I'm holding on to my hair. So clearly, this person, that's what I'm thinking, that's what I'm talking about. And once again, that's enough of a yad, that once I'm talking about my hair, and I'm being Hareini, I'm being Makabal upon myself, what about my hair, am I being Makabal? So the pashtus is that I'm being Makabal Nizirus. Okay. Now, Hareini Mechalko, one more lashon in the Mishnah. It says Hareini Mechalko, I want to extend. I'll use that translation for the Gemara itself. Once again, the Gemara asks, Mimai dahadein kilkul sa'irahu. Once again, how do I know that the word kilkul, which is actually for us, for those of you who use this lashon, hareini mechalkel chayim, for example. For us, actually, kilkul is not a typical, we're not accustomed to using the word kilkul in the context of growing our hair. So, how do we know in this guy, when he says hareini mechalkel, that he's referring to his hair, and therefore referring to Naziris? Because it's not. So the Gemara says, well, we see in Mishnayis, and therefore it must be the way people talk, that we do use the word kilkul in the context of here. Because it's not, we learned in a Mishnah. Sid is plaster. So it doesn't mean necessarily the plaster that we use on the walls. There was a common practice. So the context of the Gemara over there, or the Mishnah rather, is talking about how much plaster would you have to carry on Shabbos for it to be considered a chadaber choshev that you're carrying on Shabbos, right? If I have a piece of dust in my pocket, that's not considered carrying on Shabbos. So I have to be carrying something that has some sort of use, some sort of value. It has to be something in order for it to be considered carrying on Shabbos. Okay, so when it comes to plaster, how much plaster? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kedei Losud Kilkul. Interesting, he uses the word kilkul. I have to have enough plaster for kilkul. Now what is kilkul in that Mishnah? The Omer Rav, and Rav explains, Bas Tzediyah, it means the sideburns. So, it means your sideburns, the enough plaster that you would use. In other words, nowadays we use a shaver, right? The English boys, for example, they put some sort of cream on their face and they rub it off. That's how they shave. So over here also, that's what they used to do. They used to put maybe you compare it to like how the ladies do their eyebrows, where they put the hot wax on their eyebrows and they peel it off, and that's how they shape their eyebrows. So similarly, people used to do this when they wanted to shave their face, on the side of their face. They used to put plaster on their face, attach it to the face, peel it off, and that's how they would, so to speak, what we call shaving. In any event, we see very clearly, losud kilkul. Kilkul is referring to here, in this context it means the removal of here, but the point is that the word kilkul is a reference to here, and therefore in our context also, again, even though it's not commonly used for us that way, but we see that at least in the times of the Mishnayos that was a common use of the word, and that's what we mean. Okay, but once again, the Gemara says, that's very nice that that's possible, a potential translation of the word kilkul, but emo mezin ania, which is what we would maybe think in our culture, we would think maybe it just means I'm going to be mechalkel, I'm going to support the poor people of my city. So once again, I have another option of what the expression means, which is not terrible, but the problem is when it comes to Naziris, you have to have a lashon hafla, you have to be clear that I'm being mekabel Naziris. So if I have another meaning to the word and another potential expression, how do I know that it means Naziris if it could mean that I'm supporting the poor people? That when Yosef became the king and they moved down to Mitzrayim, he took care of his father and his brothers. He supported them. So we see what kilkul means, support, and support over here is in food. It has nothing to do with Nizirus. So once again, Omar Shmuel, Hachanami, Shatefis Besaroi. Once again, we're talking about a case where he's holding on to his hair, and therefore it's the combination of the word kilkul could mean here, and I'm holding on to my hair. So obviously, when I say that word, that's what I'm referring to because of my actions. My actions indicate that that's what I'm referring to. So therefore, we know that he's referring to here. Once we're referring to here, and he says, "Hareini mekabel mechalkel," I'm being mekabel something with kilkul. So we know he's being mekabel something with here, which is Naziris. Notice, by the way, that we've had many, many cases where it's Typhus Basari. There was one case in the middle where he said Hareini Kazeh, where we threw in the fact that there was a Nazir over Lefanov. Now, that's not the only case in the Mishnah that there's a Nazir over Lefanov. But just to show you why the Gemara's Havamina back there was that it was probably holding on to his hair, because that's what most of the cases are referring to. So it was a good Havamina. The Gemara was saying, even if I'm holding on to my hair, I don't understand it. Okay, just as a side point to the way we understood the Gemara before. Alright. Another lashon that the Mishnah brings, Harei alai l'shloach fera. The person says, I'm going to translate what the point here is, that the simple understanding in the Mishnah is that the guy says, I want to grow my hair. Harei zanazir, all those cases that we just listed, including this one, makes the person a nazir. That's considered a Kabbalah's Naziris. Okay, so of course we have to understand what this lashon means. Once again, the Gemara asked me, my tahaden shiluach ribuyehu. How do we know that the word shiluach in this context means to grow, to make more, to multiply? Because he just says l'shloach pera. So let's assume for argument's sake right now that we know that the word pera means here. Let's assume that we know that. Then l'shloach, how do we know l'shloach means to grow your hair? So the Gemara answers very simply, t'chsiv, because the pasuk says, let me make sure I'm pronouncing it correctly. The pasuk says, shalochayich pardes rimoinim. That I am going to grow a orchard of pomegranates. That's what the pasuk means. So we see the word shaleach, it's the same root, same word, and over there it means to grow. So too over here, that's what it means, to grow. Now, I'll jump out of order for a second, but Tosis does point out that there are many psukim that the word shaleach, and again, I'm jumping a little bit out of order, I'm jumping the gun here, but I do want to point this out, that there are many psukim that the word shaleach does not mean to grow. As we're going to see an example of that in 1 second in the Gemara. But Tosfos says that's fine. We know that there are multiple psukim and the word shaleach means a lot of different things. in different places. Like shaleach is be'ero, you let your animal go out, and so on and so forth. It can mean a lot of different things. However, all we really needed for purposes of this Mishnah is that there is one pasuk that means to grow, and that's what I mean. Again, in the context of what I'm talking about, that's what I mean. So that's why that's good enough. At least that's the thinking of the Gemara right now. So good. So we found the pasuk. However, again, I jumped the gun a little bit because now you'll see the shakli b'tayra of the Gemara. The Gemara says ema midi de avure. Actually, it's true that it could mean to grow, and you found the pasuk that it means that. However, maybe it means just the opposite in the context of here. Meaning, again, as I said, there are many psukim that use the word shaleach, and it can mean very different things. A lot of different things. But, in the context of here alone, it could mean either growing or cutting, or removing. So how do you know which act, with respect to your here, I'm referring to? One or the other. How do I know which one? Because the pasuk says v'shaleach ma'im apanei chutzos, that you're going to take the water and you're going to take it out. This is talking about, if let's say, again, it's not an exact translation of the pasuk, but the idea was that if you have water that's flooding your field, you take the water and you take it, you remove it and you put it outside of your field so it doesn't flood. In any event, the word shaleach over there clearly means to remove, not to grow. So how do you know? And again, this could be talking about your hair, because your hair can either grow or be cut. Those, to the extent that you're actively involved. So the Gemara says, you're right. So it could mean that, but the remember, you didn't just use the word shaleach, you used the word shaleach pera. So tana pera pera, we learn from a gzeira shava that the use of the word pera, yalef, from that, that's how we learn it. Ksiv hocha kadosh yegol pera, that you're going to be holy in the case of Nazir, and you're going to grow your hair. And it says by a koyin, how long his hair is allowed to go. It says upara loy yishalechu, that he should not send his hair. So we see over there it is referring to growing your hair, because it says upara loy yishalechu, you should not let it grow. And it happens to be Tosfos gets very into the specifics of that case, that by a koyin he has to take a haircut once every 30 days, so therefore we know, and over here by Nazir it's also every 30 days, so by a koyin hedjut he can't let it grow for 30 days, so to over here it has to be that he has to let it grow for 30 days. And since we're using the word para, and the word para in the pasuk, together with the word yishalechu, specifically, even though over there, by the way, so it's kind of funny, because over there, it's specifically talking about the fact that he should take a haircut, that he should cut it. But again, that's why Tosfos learns it as a drasha from a gezeira shava, that over there, you take the opposite, the negative of lo yishalechu, he should not let it grow for 30 days, and over here I am saying shaleach para, that I want it to grow, so I'm referring to the fact that it should grow for 30 days. Where does your hair grow for 30 days? And of course we all know that Naziris is 30 days. Oh, so it's referring to Naziris. So it's based on a gezeira shava. So once again, this is where Tosfos says that Enachanami, the word shaleach can mean a lot of different things. But in this context, all I need is that one time the Torah uses it this way, and I'm using it in this context to mean that. So therefore, if that's what I mean, and that's what I said, we can put two and two together, so to speak, connect the dots, and we could say, oh, that's what I meant. I meant that I should grow my hair, which of course is an act that I would do in Naziris. So obviously I'm referring to being Mekabel Naziris. That's all I need, even if there are other psukim. So that's the first approach that the Gemara gives, that there is possibilities, but since of the way I used the pasuk, the way I used the phrase of shaleach para, so then I know two and two must mean kabbalas naziris. So now the Gemara takes a second approach, and the Gemara says, ha shaleach mayim, even the second pasuk that you brought, which again was used as a contradiction, this is the way Tosfos learns this way the Gemara, that even when you're right, the word shaleach can mean a lot of different things, but even the pasuk that you used to contradict me and said over there that it means removal of here, it's not really true. Ha shaleach mayim nami ribuyahu, even that pasuk also means to grow, or could be understood and read as growing. And therefore, once we have multiple psukim that mean to grow, there's nothing wrong with me using the word shaleach to mean growing. Now, can the targum Rabbi Yosef, the way Rabbi Yosef gives the targum, is just an interesting aside over here, why it's in brackets. There's no question that there was definitely a targum Rabbi Yosef. So that is not the issue. That's not the reason why it's in brackets. The only reason why it's in brackets is because Rabbi Yosef was an Amora, and the problem was that the Targum that were here was possibly at, it was, if we're referring to the Mishnah was already at the time of the Tanoim. So it's just historically a little bit difficult to say that the Mishnah meant a Targum, a translation that was put into place later historically. That's the difficulty over here, and that's why the Lashon is in brackets. There's nothing wrong. There is a Targum Rabbi Yosef. That's not the problem. The problem is just how to use that to explain the Mishnah, which was written before Rabbi Yosef came around. In any event, interesting point. For our point of the Gemara says, the Chad, Mashkin Le, he's translating, his Targum of that Pasuk alone is the Chad, Mashkin Le, Maya Le Peiro Viravi, that you're going to give, you know, drink, water to the Peiros to help them grow. So once again, that pasuk alone that you were referring to that would sounded on its on the simple translation sounded like it was a contradiction that the shaleach over there meant to remove. It's actually not. It means just the opposite. It means to water the field so that the peiros will grow. So once again, that combination is perfect for what we're trying to accomplish. That once again, we see that shaleach itself also once again we have two psukim now that the word shaleach means to grow. So it makes perfect sense that a person in our own context would use the word shaleach also to mean to grow. Regardless of the fact that there are other psukim that shaleach can mean other things. But now in this context, over here, it means to grow. And therefore I can use the lashon of shaleach para to mean to grow my hair, and I'm referring to Naziris. Okay. Now we get to the last case in the Mishnah. The last case in the Mishnah, the Gemara quotes part of the last line of the Mishnah. It says, Harei alai tzipayrin remei roi min nazir. So this is actually, there's one more line in the Mishnah which says the Rabbanan argue and the Rabbanan say, let me just make sure I quote it correctly, and the Rabbanan say, Chamamayim einin nazir. Okay, I just want to make sure I quoted it correctly. So the last line of the Mishnah says a very interesting case. A person says, Harei alai tzipayrin. So tzipayrin definitely means birds. Now the question over here, and we have a machloikus now between Rav Meir and the Rabbanan. We're going to try to figure out what is their point of contention here, right? That what are they arguing about? And we're going to have a couple different pshatim and to see why it should or should not work. So again, whatever you're going to say, don't forget that there's a Shitas Reb Meir that it says it does work, and that's what we're going to focus on. We are going to focus on Shitas Reb Meir that it does work and why it works. Because remember, in the context of Yodos, you're referring to something, so we have to figure out what the reference is and how it works. The Rabbanan Shita is always easy, because the Rabbanan always say, again, there's actually different ways to learn the Rabbanan, so it's not as easy as I'm making it sound, but the Rabbanan always, it's not enough of a reference, and therefore I don't know that it means Naziris. So I hold that it's not Naziris. Again, there are different Mefarshim, even in the Rabbanan, that say that when I say Tzipayrin, when I say it's not a Nazir, does that mean my words are nothing and meaningless? That's one way to learn it, because I didn't say anything. The other way to learn it is Tzipayrin, maybe Lemaskanas HaGemara means that I do have to bring a carbon. I'll have to bring a carbon, maybe for a Nazir, or maybe for something else, potentially, depending on how you learn. But it does have some meaning, it just doesn't mean Nazir. Okay, in any event, we're not going to focus as much on the Rabbanan Shita, although they're there, and not to be disregarded, that we're going to focus on explaining Rav Meir Shita, because Rav Meir, so to speak, is the more difficult or bigger chiddush of that it works, even though it's only a reference to a reference and so on. Okay, so what are we talking about over here? Tzipayrin. How do we get from the word tzipayrin to mean a nozer? So, my time at the Rav Meir, so as I said, we're going to focus on Rav Meir Shita. The Gemara asks, what is the reasoning of Rav Meir that it works? Seems by the fact that the Gemara is asking my time at the Rav Meir that the Rabbanan Shita was more obvious, was clear. We didn't have to ask about the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan, we understand. That what does Tzipayrin have to do with Nazir? Our only question was, how did Rav Meir get, what was his thinking process that it got to mean Nazir? So, Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish has a very novel pshat. Reish Lakish says, Tzipayrin smuchin l'seir. So this is a difficult concept, so I'm going to hopefully try to explain it very simply, but it's more complicated than that. Which is simply by the fact that we see that in the Torah and Tanakh, the Torah puts these two concepts together, and again, they're not just random, because it's not just the matter of fact that they are close to each other in the pasuk. There's that also, but the Torah equates or puts connects them. That's the better word to use. The Torah itself connects these concepts together in the same pasuk, even though they might be referring to different things. But the Torah puts them together. So therefore, when I say the word Sipurim, I am referring to what the Torah connects it to. So it's a little bit of a jump. I have to be, you know, like a smart person that I'm making these connections, and that's what I mean. So where do we see that the Torah puts them together? So Ishlak Sipurim Smuchel Seir Kibel Olav. The fact that the word Sipurim is connected to the word now. To the word Seir, and don't forget that the word Sipurim does, as we'll see very clearly on Amud Beis, the word Sipurim is related to another. It's not completely out of context. It's not a random word, which, as Tosfos points out, there are other words in the Pesukim also, that those other words would not indicate that I want to be another, even though those words are also in the Pasuk, and they're also talking about similar concepts. But that, those words, they have nothing to do with it. At least Sipurim is a starting point, because it does connect to another, and it's connected in the pasuk. It's that combination of like being a very smart guy, like giving a hint. You know, it's like giving a code, and that code is referring to Nazir. Where's the pasuk? Because the pasuk says, "Ad di sare kenishrin rabo." This is Daniel talking to Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, "When you're here, is going to grow like the feathers of a eagle." Vitrufe kitziporin. And your fingernails are going to grow like a dove. Okay, so once again, you see the word Sarei, and you see the word Sipurim in the same pasuk. So, again, I know I'm not getting into the depth of it, but we see that there is some sort of connection between the word Sar and the word Sipurim. So there is connection. Now, the Gemara finishes with the explanation as follows: Reb Meir Sovar Matves Inish B'Midi D'Samachle. A person does do that. If a person knows Tanakh, a person will refer to a word in Tanakh that is connected to another word in Tanakh. And again, there are many ways to explain the Gemara that I'm explaining. This is just one way to explain it. This is the way Tosfos primarily explains it, that there is a connection. There is a connection that when I say this, I'm referring to that. And of course, by the way, just because I'm referring to my hair, we also have to understand that the purpose of hair is to grow your hair, to be a nozer. You have to connect a bunch of dots together. And that's why Reb Meir holds that's enough of a connection that therefore, for a smart person, we'd understand that he's referring to Naziris, so it's a Kabbalah's Naziris. Now on the top of Gimel Amud Beis, Rabbanan Sarbi, so Rabbanan argue and they say, no, the person doesn't do that, a person doesn't rely on the fact that the Pasuk puts it together, so when I refer to the other thing in the Pasuk, that therefore I'm referring to this. That's, again, the subtlety between the different Rishonim of how to learn this, the Rush is saying that it's more of a connection. It's, if I say this, I actually mean Seir. According to the Tosfos, it's that I don't mean Seir, but I mean to connect it to Seir. Well, there's different ways to explain it, but the idea is the same. The idea is that when I say these words, everybody knows that that's what I have in mind that I'm referring to the hair, and therefore, once I'm referring to my hair, I know that I'm referring to Naziris. That is Reish Lakish's pshat, that one thing, so to speak, leads to another thing, which is referring to Naziris. However, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, of course, Rabbi Yochanan, as we know very often in Shas, is the one who argues on Reish Lakish, and he has a different pshat, and he says, no. The Kulei Yama Loi Matvis. No, everybody holds that you wouldn't do such a thing. Nobody would refer to one thing which refers to something else. People don't talk that way, and there's no way to know that that really means Naziris. So, how does the word Sipurim then therefore mean Naziris? Elahainu time of the Rav Meir. If you want to know the real reason of Rav Meir that it works, is the Chayshinon, we suspect, Shemer Tzipori Nozer Tomei Kibel Olav. That he means the Tzipori itself mean the carbon of a Nozer. Now, it has to be a Nozer Tomei, because only a Nozer Tomei brings Tzipori. A Nozer Tahar, if you go through the Naziris completely and directly, straight, you do not have to bring Tzipurim. You just bring a chatzis, you bring a shlamim and an oilo, but you don't bring tzipurim. This is only in the context of a tamei nozer. But the point is that there is a direct reference. It's not because of something else, it's referring to something else. No, it's a direct reference. I'm referring to a nozer, happens to be tamei, but fine, but I'm referring to a nozer tamei. Okay, and that's why the word Sipar means again, all this is to explain Rav Meir Shito, to explain why, how I know that we're referring to and being Mekabel Naziris. However, before we get to the explanation of how this works, the Gemara has a, what I call a technical question. The way Rabbi Yochanan said it was, Michti, Chayshinon Ka'omar, we suspect, now as we've said many times, and probably we'll say this many more times, that when it comes to Naziris, you have to be clear with your Kabbalah. If your Kabbalah is not clear, then it is not a good Naziris. So what are you, how are you even presenting this as we suspect maybe? If there's any kind of maybe involved over here, then that, by definition, means that you have not been mekabel naziris properly. So, what is Rabbi Yochanan presenting when he says we suspect? Michti chashinin kamar. You're saying that we suspect. Again, there are other ways to learn this pshat, but I'm going to stick with the simple reading of the Gemara. Dilma. So, the Gemara itself now adds there are other possibilities. Dilma tzipayin nedava kibel olav. So, first of all, for example, if I don't know for sure that it's Naziris, there are other things that I do with birds. I could bring a pair of birds as a carbon nedava on the Mizbeach, and maybe that's what I'm doing. I just said birds, so maybe I'm referring to the birds that I could bring as a random carbon. So how do we know it means Naziris? In case the Gemara says no. That's not the way, because I would do it. Because Hare Alai Kan Mi Baile. So the Gemara says, if that's really what I was trying to do, I was trying to obligate myself to bring a pair of birds as a carbon, then I would have said it the way you're supposed to say it, which is Hare Alai Kan. I want to bring a set. A set, a Kan always refers to two birds. So if that's what, so by the fact that I did not use Kan, as Taisu says, by the fact that I did not use the word Kan, that means that's an indication of itself that I'm not referring to the carbon of Nidava. Because again, I would have said it differently. So clearly I don't mean that. But the Gemara says, Vidilma Hare Alai Tziparim Mitzayri Kamar. But there are other, fine, I get it. We're not referring to Kan. We're going to talk, but there are other cases and other mitzvahs in the Torah where Tziparim is specifically referenced in the Torah as the proper carbon, and that would be for a Mitzayri, for a person when he becomes Tar at the end of his Tzaras, he has to bring two birds, as we all know from the Parsha of Parshas Mitzayri. In any event, now, and there, the Torah uses the word Tziparim. So how do I know? It's very good, it's very easy to understand that when I said the word Tziparim, I was referring to the Karbanis related to Mitzayra, to Tzaras, and has nothing to do with Naziris. So once again, the Gemara gives the classic answer, Kagoyin Shahaya Nazir over Lefonov. Okay, this takes care of that problem, because there's a Nazir there. So, you're right. It could definitely mean Mitzayra. In the right context, in the right time and place, it does mean Mitzayra. And that's what I could be Mekabel. In fact, as Tosfos points out, it's more likely to even mean Mitzayra Lechayra, because Mitzayra uses the word Tzipayrin in the Pasuk. However, if there's a Nazir walking in front of me, and Tzipayrin is related to and applies to the context of a Nazir, so therefore, if there's a Nazir here, and I said Tziparin, oh, so I'm referring to the carbon of a Nazir, so obviously I'm being Mekabel Naziris. However, the Gemara now asks, if that's the whole reason is because it has connected to a Nazir, that's great. However, Vidilma Nazir Tami the Poitrimi Karbanosav Ka'omar. So maybe, and Achanami, maybe once again, I'm talking about Naziris because there's a Nazir here. But how do I know which part of the Naziris? How do I know that I mean that I personally am going to be involved in Naziris now? That I personally, that is the Kabbalah for himself to be a Nazir. Maybe what he simply just means is that he's going to bring the Karbanis of a Nazir as it applies. And as we just said, great, there's a Nazir here. It's definitely connected to Naziris. But there's also a carbon aspect of it. And maybe he's just referring to the carbon itself, and not to the act or the restrictions and the involvement of being a Nazir himself. So the Gemara answer is something very interesting. Kegoyin shahaya Nazir tahar over lefanov. So there is a tahar Nazir. And everybody knows that there's a tahar Nazir, that the guy is tahar. So it doesn't make sense, and again, I'm going to stick a little bit with the way Tosfos learns. You're right. It could mean the karbonos of a Nazir Tomei. And that makes a lot of sense, because he said Tzipar, and he was referring to the carbon. Maybe he just means the carbon. That would make sense if he was just talking about the Tziparin randomly. But when I have a Nazir that is Tahar, and So it's not referring to a Tomei Nazir because he is Tar. As Tosfos brings two reasons that I know that I'm not referring to the Tomei Nazir. One is because I know. So one is Tosfos says the Chiddush is the Kabbalah Shebelev. We know that that's what he was thinking when he sees the Tahar Nazir. He says, "I want to be like a Tahar Nazir, not a Tomei Nazir." And Tosfos says it's a Dover Shaloi Boilei Adam, which is a very interesting point in the way Tosfos learns. It's a Dover Shaloi Boilei Adam because right now he's not Tomei. Right now he is Tahar, and we see that he's Tahar. So why would you expect that he's going to become Tomei? That's not something that's necessarily going to happen ever. So, therefore, it doesn't make sense that he's referring to a Tamei Nazir. He must be referring to the Tar Nazir. Again, the fact that he is Tar. And the, one shot in Tosfos. And, right, actually, that was the second shot. The second shot in Tosfos says the Dabash Loi Bo the other. The first shot in Tosfos is the first way I said it, which is that he says that the Barishim Belev, like we've seen earlier on Daf Beis, we saw this concept also that in order to be the Kabbal Naziris, when it's a little bit unclear, and it probably means that, and the guy says he adds the third piece to the equation, and he says, that's what I meant. And that's what he meant. It's close enough that we say that's what he meant. That is liboy piv liboy shavin. So that makes it that now we understand. Yeah. Okay, it's clear that that's what he meant because it could mean that. I wasn't 100% sure. Now the word chayshinin actually makes sense because we suspect that that's what he meant. And now he's telling me that that's what I meant. If that's what he's telling me, that's what he meant, and it makes sense that that's what he meant. We're going to put that combination together and consider it an ozer. So. Okay, so what do we have? We have over here a basic machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish to explain Shitas Reb Meir. Remember, Reb Meir and Reb Chachamim argue, but we're going to explain Shitas Reb Meir of why, when I say the word Tzipayrin, it means Nazir. So, according to Reish Lakish, Tzipayrin is connected to here in the pasuk. So when I say tziparim, I'm referring to the here in the pasuk, and the here, whenever we're referring to here, the mitzvah of here is to be a nazir. That's the way Reish Lakish learns. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, tziparim is referring to the nazir, the act of the nazir itself, the korbanos of a nazir. So even though it's referring to a nazir that's tameh, but if there's another tahar here, then we say that it's not referring to the tamei part of it. We're just talking about the naziris generally. So the naziris generally, and he's not talking about the carbon because he's not tamei, so that carbon doesn't apply. So it must be referring to the naziris itself. Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan, so to speak, if I had to rephrase it, I would say Rabbi Yochanan is more direct. Rabbi Yochanan is saying Tzipurin itself is referring to the mitzvah of Naziris, maybe the Karbonis, but since it's not applicable to the carbon right now, so it's referring to the Naziris itself. Okay, so then the Gemara asks a very simple question, my Beinayu. What would be the difference? And again, like everything else in this Gemara, there's different ways to explain this, but we'll just stick to the basics, which is my Beinayu. What would be the nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish and how to explain Shitas Reb Meir? The Gemara says, Ike Beinayu, the way to, a nafkamina between them would be, Kegoin de Omar Tzipoirin Hasmuchin Leseir Olai. He says all those words. He says that I mean to be Makabo Tzipoirin, which is related to the word Seir. So now he spells it out right. So the issue beforehand was it wasn't clear. How do we know that that's what he's referring to? And people don't typically make that kind of connection, but he's saying it for us. He's making that connection for us. So the Gemara then has a very interesting twist. Okay, so we know what he's referring to, but even so, Li Rabbi Yochanan, Afar Gav de Omar Hochi, even though he says it, so now we know that it's referring to here, Inozer Oivelefon of In Eloy Loy. We still need on top of that. So he said the word Tziparin, and he said, I'm referring to here. We still need that there's a Nazir literally in front of us. We still need the extra circumstantial evidence to show us that he means a Nazir. By the fact that there's a Nazir, that the Nazir in front of us saying these words, though, that combination makes it clear that I'm being Makabel Naziris, and that's what Reb Meir is referring to. That becomes the case of our Mishnah. But Reb Shimon ben Lakish, but according to Reb Shimon ben Lakish, I don't need it. See, because according to Reb Shimon ben Lakish, he said the case was, or rather the case of the Mishnah really is, that I just said Tzipoirin. So this, again, it gets a little complicated over here in the Rishonim. Did we just change the case of the Mishnah, or are we saying that the case of, that this case is different than the case of the Mishnah? Is the case in the Mishnah when I said Tzipayrin, I said all these words, or is the case in the Mishnah even without saying these words? In any event, the Nafkamina is, and this is where it gets interesting, the Nafkamina is whether I need an additional additional evidence that I am referring to a nozer by having a nozer over the phone of that a nozer is here in my presence when I said that. According to Rav Shimon Lakish, I don't need that, because according to Rav Shimon Lakish, it was already enough when I just said Tzipayrin. Again, that's one way to learn. But it's just enough when I said Tzipayrin. So certainly when I make the connection, I say Tzipayrin is referring to here, what else could I be referring to? I don't even need a nozer. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it wasn't really that clear. Even when I say that I'm referring to here, I'm still kind of loose on what it means, so I would need a nozer over here. Now, that's, so Bataisus at the end of the day says, the chiddush of the Gemara is, that based on this nafkamino, that it would mean not even in this case where I said tziparin smuchin l'seir, where I spelled it out. The nafkamina really is, the way Tosfos learns, even when I say Tzipayrin itself, without adding in the word, like our Mishnah's case, that according to Reish Lakish, really, because the way Tosfos learns, really Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish don't argue, that when I say, if I have a nozer, if I say Tzipayrin over Lefanov, I still need a nozer, when there's a nozer over here, it for sure works, and when there's not a nozer over here, it doesn't work. The nafkamina really is when I just say the word tzipayrin, whether or not I need a nozer or not. That do I, according to Reish Lakish, it would be enough by just saying the word tzipayrin would also be enough. It would also be enough to refer to nozer. However, even according to Reish Lakish, this is where Tosfos kind of throws everything for a loop, where he says that even according to Reish Lakish, when I said just the word tzipayrin, that's all I said, I have to connect the dots to the Seir, so I can only connect the dots if there's a nozer over the funnel. And that would end up being the nafkamina between them. Again, the simple reading of the Gemara is that this case is the nafkamina between them. The way Tosfos kind of shifts it is that the nafkamina between them would be in a case where I only said the word tzipayrin and I did not say, even though the Gemara itself says that this is the case of nafkamina between them. Okay, and not to take it out of the pashup shot of the Gemara, it is an nafkamina between them over here also, where according to Reish Lakish, if I was this clear, I don't even need a nozer over the funnel. That's clear, the Gemara says that. But the chiddush over here, the nafkamina also would be in the case of tzipayrin, just the word tzipayrin, whether I need a nozer over the funnel as well. That according to Rabbi Yochanan, even with a nozer over the funnel, it wouldn't be enough. Okay, so that again was a pshat in just the case of Tzipayrin. Now the Gemara asks us a very simple question. So we just said that, at least according to Reish Lakish, that the machlokes the Rabbanan and Reb Meir was when I refer to one thing in the pasuk and the pasuk itself, or there is a pasuk in Tanakh that puts the two things together. The question then became a machlokes whether or not people chap that when I say one thing, I'm referring to the other thing. Is there really a mandiyomer that says that we don't put two and two together? But Tanya, we have a brice, and I'll prove it to you that people do. Ha'emer yamin, if a person says with my right hand, hare zu shvua, just saying on my right hand, that's enough. Even though I never said the word I swear, I just said on my right hand. Everybody knows when I say on my right hand, we mean, you know, or in America, the expression might be on my mother's life, right? When I say something like that, now again, I don't want to put those words into the Gemara, but the Gemara's example is yamin. When I say on my right hand, that I am taking a shvua. And why would that be true? My taimo lav mishum dechsev, because it's based on a pasuk. It says v'yoram yamino usmo, if there's right hand or his left, Ela Shemayim, the right hand or left hand to the Shemayim, the Yeshua B'chai Olam, and he swore in the name of Hashem. So we see that Yamin is, that's what you do, you lift your right hand and you swear, and that is considered a Shavuah, so there's a connection. So we see that everybody agrees that there's a concept of Samuch, that right hand in the Pasuk is swearing, and therefore when I refer to right hand, I'm referring to swearing. So the Gemara says, Amri, look, that's not a raya. That case might be true. Mishum diyamin gufe ikri shvua. Over there, it's the right hand itself is a shvua. Lifting up your right hand is the act of a shvua, is referring to a shvua. It's not because the pasuk put two and two together. It's not because in the pasuk it says the word yamin and the pasuk says shvua, and I'm so to speak connecting the dots. Yamin, your right hand is a shvua. The Tanya, we have a brisa like that. Minayin lo omer yamin shehu shvua. As we see, how do I know when I say the word yamin, it means shvua? It's not because I figured it out. It's because it actually means that shenemar, because the pasuk says nishba Hashem b'yaminoi, that Hashem swore with his right hand. So we see that yaminoi, lifting up your right hand, that itself is a act of swearing, and therefore has nothing to do with connecting the dots and the meaning of the word. That's what it means. It's not because of, you know, again, you don't need an extra connection. It is shvua. Now the Gemara just adds an extra interesting point, because we quoted the pasuk before, because it says v'yarm yamina usmoiloi. So the Gemara says minayin lo'aymer smol shehu shvua. How do we know that that's true even in my left hand? Shenema ubezroya uzoi, and with his arm, his strength. So we, and that's referring to, and that Ezroya uzoi, that's a separate, that's a, we already said yamin, so what's Zeroya? Zeroya must mean his left hand. So we see that even with your left hand, you could, if you lift it up as an act of a shvua, it's going to be a shvua. So it comes out either right or left. The right hand obviously is much more common, but the point is that when I lift up the right hand, or I say I'm on my right hand, that I'm referring to a shvua. That is a lashon of shvua. Okay? So basically, at the end of the day, we don't have a raya that everybody agrees that we connect dots in the psukim. We don't have a raya, because the raya you tried to bring was from the word yamin, but the word yamin was so close, or is a shvua, that it doesn't prove, it's not because of the fact that the pasuk put it together. That's what it literally means. Okay, that takes us to the next Mishnah. Now, interestingly, here the Mishnah is going to actually describe to us what a nazir is involved. So the next Mishnah says, gets into the details of nazirs. Hareini nazir min hachatzonim umin hazogim. The person says, I want to be a nazir from the seeds or from the peels of a grape. Umin hataglachas, or from shaving. Now he's not saying all of these things. He's saying any one of these things. Umin hatomo, and in fact, I'm being mekabel on myself. I'm not going to become tomei. Hareize nazir, that he is, this is a little bit more complicated than the Mishnah makes it sound, but the simple case of it is that these are the words that he said, and we understand that he means the Nazir. The chol diktuke Naziris olav, and as a result of being Mekabel Naziris in this fashion, means that I am being Mekabel, I become a Nazir in all respects. Not just, even though all I said is I'm not going to eat grapes. So you might think, okay, maybe I'm a nozer with respect to the grapes, but not with respect to something else. So you might think that it only applies to a half or not. No, once I'm a Kabbalah Naziris, the Kabbalah Naziris comes with everything, comes the full package. Tosfos does point out something very interesting. The reason why the Mishnah had to point out that it includes all aspects of Naziris is because Naziris Shimshin, which we're not discussing right now, but it will come up later. But Naziris Shimshin is an interesting type of Naziris which does not have a chiyuv of all those things. Shimshin himself became tummy. As we know, one of the things that he did, he killed many people with the plishtim and whatever. He was very involved. So Shimshin became tummy. So he had it, but he was a nozer. Everybody knows Nazir Shimshin. So he was a nozer, but he was not a nozer with respect to the tumah part of it. So there is a concept of being a nozer that doesn't have all the elements of Naziris to it. But the Gemara is saying over here, when I'm Mekabel Naziris, when a regular person is Mekabel Naziris, even if he only references one part of it, he's referring to all the parts of Naziris. So, the Gemara now continues and says, Masnisin Deloike Reb Shimon. Our Mishnah would not fit with Reb Shimon's Shita. Reb Shimon cannot be the Tana of our Mishnah. The Tani Reb Shimon Oimer, because Reb Shimon in the Brisa says very clearly, Ein Echayiv, you do not become a Nozer, Achiyidr Mi Kulam. You have to be Mechabel all of them, all the parts of Naziris, in order to be Mechayiv, to be a Nozer. So our Mishnah is just the opposite of that. Rabbanon Amri, and the Rabbanon say, no, Afil Loi Nozer, El Bechad Mehanoin, Minhoin, Have a Nozer. Even if I was just Mekabel any one of those things, that's already, and a full Naziris, that already makes me a Nazir. Nazir. My time of the Rav Shimon, so why did Rav Shimon say, now we're not gonna finish all the Gemara, but let's start the Gemara over here. My time of the Rav Shimon, What is the reasoning behind Rav Shimon that says that I have to do everything at once? It's called Amakro, because the pasuk says, "Mikol asher yasa migefan hayayin mecharetzon v'adzog," that anything and everything that comes from grapes, even from the seeds and the peels. Now, it's interesting over here. This pasuk does not mention, for example, tumah. It doesn't mention all the things about being nazirus, but we're still darshaning from the word mikol, from all. So we, from Rav Shimon is taking from that that I had to be mekabel all of it, all aspects of the nazirus to be a nazir. V'rabbanon, my taimo. So why do the Rabbanon argue? What do they think? That it's enough to take one thing? Amar Kro, because the pasuk says, Miyayim Shecher Yazir, that I'm just making myself a nozer from wine and grapes. And Shecher. Okay, we're not going to translate the word Shecher right now. But the point is that that's all I was being Mekabel. I was just being Mekabel one thing, and that makes him a nozer for everything. Okay, so we're gonna stop towards the bottom of the Yomar over here. Rav Shimon Nami Yaksiv Miyayim V'Sheicher Yazir. But what does Rav Shimon do with the pasuk? Because the pasuk seems to indicate that I only have to be mekabel this one thing, and that's enough to make me a nazir. The Gemara says that pasuk doesn't mean what you think it means. Ahu mi boyle laser yayin mitzvah ki yayin harishus. That it's coming to tell us that the wine, that even though I'm a nozer, that the Isser of nozer overrides the other mitzvahs that I might have with wine. Even though there are mitzvahs that I have to do to comply, in order to comply with the mitzvah, I need wine. No, my nazirus overrides that. And that's what the pasuk is saying. Yayin v'sheicher yazir, that he's a nazir even from wine, even from the type of wine that you really have to do. Mahi, what would be an example of wine that I have to do? Kiddusha v'avdalta, making kiddush on Shabbos and Havdalah. Which is itself, we'll stop over here, we'll pick up again. I know it's the middle of the Gemara, but we'll stop over here. But right at the bottom of the Yomid, the Kiddush and Avdolah, which is interesting because we do wine, there's no question that Kiddush and Avdolah are mitzvahs d'araisa. That's not a question that we're not going to debate right now. The Kiddush is the fact that it has to be necessarily done on wine, that really is an asmachta in the pasuk. That's not necessarily a mitzvah d'araisa, meaning the wine itself is not the mitzvah. The wine itself is just a way to fulfill the mitzvah. The Chazal said that you fulfill the mitzvah with wine. However, the point is that the wine is definitely associated with the mitzvah. That is definitely the better way to do the mitzvah. And the chiddush of the pasuk then becomes that my nazirus overrides that the fact that the wine is associated with another mitzvah. Once I'm a nazir, it becomes a nazir in its entirety, even with respect to the mitzvahs that involve wine. And I become a nazir. That's why the pasuk has to say yayin v'sheicher, that I'm even a nazir on yayin v'sheicher, even to the extent that they apply to a mitzvah. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up from the Gemara, from the continuation of the Gemara next time.